Hello, my name is Connie Glover. I'm the principal and owner of the Seamarie Marketing Studio based here in Charlottesville, Virginia. I work with small businesses and I also work with high-profile individuals on their individual branding. I've had a lot of questions throughout various workshops that I've given about the basics of social media. Should I be on Facebook? How do I keep my Facebook page separate from my business Facebook page? Should I be on Twitter? What's Groupon? Is Foursquare important to my business? A lot of questions like that. And I found that many small business owners or individual brands may be a little bit intimidated by the world of social media, especially when it comes to deciding which social media outlets to be on and how to get started. So today we're going to cover all of that, and hopefully by the end of this podcast, you'll be able to develop your own personal social media plan, integrate it into your overall marketing strategy, and know the first steps to take. My motto in my business and as I work with various clients is, it's no longer about who you know, it's about who knows you. And it used to be that the purpose of marketing and sales was to just get your message out about you. But now the traditional four P's of marketing, product, price, promotion, and place that many of us have grown up on in our careers, have now been replaced by the four C's of marketing: consumer, cost, communications, and convenience. So I'll start off by talking a little bit about communication as a very critical element in our four C's. Marketing in the new economy now is much more about creating a dialogue with your potential customer rather than selling and marketing to a prospect. It's about inviting feedback, creating a dialogue, being receptive to ideas, and responding to needs, then presenting your product or service in response to what you've learned through these various interactions. So in other words, another C could be conversation. You're in a conversation with your potential customers and clients. Social media marketing allows you to do that. In fact, it demands it. So for those of you wondering whether you should be involved in social media for your business or your personal brand, the answer is yes. The marketing mix in today's economy has moved from a monologue to a dialogue. The social media activities are those that integrate technology, telecommunications, and social interaction. And it's a way to exchange information rather than just dictate or give out information through the use of clicks and uploads. Social media these days is the connective tissue of society. But one thing to remember is that no one social media activity is effective by itself. We're going to talk about how to choose the outlets that are right for you, that make sense for you and your business, and then how to integrate those into a plan that makes sense. For those of you that are following along on the PDF slides, you'll see various icons on the slide illustrating the different social media outlets. Most of you are familiar with Facebook and Twitter. Many of you in the business world are on LinkedIn. Those of you that have something to demonstrate may have a YouTube channel. Groupon is all the new rage these days about promoting your business. And Foursquare is a new one that I get a lot of questions about. So we'll address all of these in the nature of this podcast here and sort of address what's best for you and how to sort that out. But the first question is, why is social media and online marketing important for your small business or for your personal brand? Basically, it gets people talking. It's your opportunity to create a buzz. You build loyal followers. Keyword in that phrase is loyal. It creates employee engagement and emphasizes a connection, a collaboration, and innovation, both within your business and also your interaction between your business and your customers. And if you want to reach the younger generation, it's how they live. It's how they plan their day. It's how they interact with their friends. It's how they figure out what they're going to buy. And even baby boomers are participating. I, for one, am not only friends with my friends on Facebook, but a lot of times I'm friends with my friends' parents, sometimes even their grandparents. So it's not just an outlet and a way to reach your younger customers. All generations are now participating in some form of social media. People tend to trust others. They are more inclined to listen and act on a recommendation from one of their friends than to act on a recommendation just based on an advertisement or something on a company's website telling them that the company's great. So in other words, if I'm C. Marie Marketing Studio and all I do is tell you how great my marketing and PR services are, you're less inclined to trust that than you are to trust one of my clients or somebody that's worked with me that will then tell you how effective my services are. 68% of potential customers will trust other people that are like themselves. And other people that are like themselves are going to be interacting with them throughout Facebook, Twitter, and other social media outlets. This is up from 22% in 2003. So in just a few short years, the social media outlets and the social media forums and ways to participate in discussions has jumped tremendously. And it's now no longer a novelty. It's a way of doing business, and it's a way to interact with each other, with the world, with your customers, etc. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is how to integrate your social media outlets, whichever ones that you choose, with your website. How to write and produce an effective website is a whole different conversation, and we'll do a future podcast about that. But when you're working with your website, when you're designing your homepage, you want to make sure that what your website communicates about you, about your business, is that you're inviting dialogue. You care about what your customers say. You care about what your customers need and want. And if you have an opportunity to release a new product or a new service, you can invite dialogue and then respond to it so that people know that you're real when you're asking for a conversation. And a conversation is much more effective in increasing your sales and increasing your loyal customer base than just, like I said before, dictating information through your website. So again, for those of you following along on the slides, on the PDF, on slide number 8, I'm illustrating one of my current clients, Erica Hayes James. She's a professor at the Darden School of Business. And I'm working with her on her personal brand. So the same sort of ideas can translate into your small business. So this is an example of a couple of different ways that we have incorporated her social media presence onto her website homepage. The first thing that you'll notice very visibly on the left-hand side is the Facebook icon. Most of the time these days, you'll see a Facebook icon on somebody's website. I'll elaborate on this a little bit longer, but I will stop here and just say, and I'll remind you of this later on in the program, if you are going to do Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever your social media outlet or outlets of choice are, make sure that you stay current and active, because there's nothing worse than having your Facebook icon on your homepage, having somebody click on it, and then going over to your Facebook page and see that it's been inactive, that there haven't been any postings, that you don't have a lot of followers or friends, etc. So if you're going to commit, commit, and only place those icons on your homepage when you're ready to be active and consistent with managing your various social media outlets, which is why it's important to have a good mix. And don't be intimidated by the fact that it's going to take up a lot of time. We'll get to that later. It actually does not, and you can effectively manage it and stay current with very little time investment. So anyway, back to Erica's homepage. She has her own personal Facebook page. And along with that, we've developed two pages that relate to her and her work. One is a discussion group called the Community of We, which stands for the Community of Women Executives. That's where we have chosen to link out her Facebook icon. She does a lot of work targeted at women in leadership positions. She has an executive education program through the Darden School that she promotes. She's been speaking in various industry conferences during the women's track. So we felt like this was an important link over to her discussion group, as opposed to just linking merely to her personal Facebook page. She also has a book out called Leading Under Pressure. We've created a fan page for the book, and that's dedicated specifically to topics on crisis leadership as set forth in her newly released book. So there's a couple of different ways that you can illustrate your business's products or services through Facebook, either through a fan page where you collect followers who like your page, or through a discussion group where you're truly inviting a discussion about your product or service. And you can have as many as you feel are appropriate, as long as you remember that they must be relevant to your business, as well as pages that you can keep up with actively. The second slide of these two slides just is the scroll down on her homepage. And at the bottom, and you can place this anywhere, but Twitter actually has gives you an opportunity to post your scrolling Twitter on your homepage. Again, if you're active in Twitter, this is a perfect opportunity to show your potential customers, the visitors to your homepage or your website, that you are actively engaged in activities, news, and what other people have to say about the space in which your product or service lives. And it's not necessary for people that follow you on Twitter to read every single one of your tweets, but it is necessary for you to be consistent and current with your tweets. And we'll get into this a little bit later on, because with Twitter, it's important that you're active on that every business day. But for people that maybe are not on Twitter actively, this gives them an opportunity to, at a glance through your scrolling Twitter feed on your homepage, to see that you are on it. You are progressive. You're engaged in the conversation. You're as interested in what other people have to say about your industry as what you have to tell other people. That's the most important part about social media in general. So everybody's talking. 76% of all Americans talk about at least one brand a day. 15% of every conversation in America includes something about a product or service. If these conversations are happening, they're happening through social media outlets. These conversations are happening on Facebook, they're happening through Twitter, and they're happening through these other social media outlets. So by talking, again, this is marketing in the new economy, and talking no longer means talking on the phone or an advertisement on TV talking at you. Talking these days is a conversation, and it can be a conversation through Facebook posts as well as it can be a conversation over coffee. Ask yourself the question about you, your business, your brand: what am I doing or making that is worth talking about? And then from there, you provide the forum for people to talk about you. So the first thing that you need to consider is, what is it about you that will get people talking? Because they will talk. They will create a buzz. They'll get other people to follow you. They'll get other people to talk about you. But you have to have something worth talking about. And it doesn't have to be landing on the moon. It can be something very simple about something that you offer in your business that nobody else does. Something that you're producing, something that you're doing that makes the customer experience better. It can be simple, and sometimes the simplest things are the ones that create the most buzz. So before you start any marketing strategy or talk about how you're going to incorporate the social media into your marketing strategy, make sure that you figure out what it is that you're doing or making that's worth talking about. And then from there, you'll create your social media strategy and your social media presence around the answer to that question. So here's an example about the power of social media. And I learned about this through reading Clay Shirky's book, about social media and the new economy. Grobenites for Charity. Many of you have heard of Josh Groban. He's the pop singer who has an operatic voice. So because he sings like an opera singer, but he sings popular music, his appeal is really, really widespread from young listeners to old listeners. And he has a lot of fans. So a group of fans got together, created a Facebook page, and they called themselves Grobenites. They got other people to like their page, to become fans of the page, and all of a sudden, their sort of fellow fan group started to grow and grow through Facebook. And anybody that was a fan of Josh Groban could make posts. There was news about his concerts, et cetera, et cetera. This was not sponsored by Josh Groban or his management team. This was just a few people that got together and decided that they liked him. So because they were fans, they knew when Josh Groban's birthday was. And one of the fans had an idea to give him a gift for his birthday. And then there was a discussion through Facebook about what that gift would be. And somebody decided that as a pop star, he would have everything that he would need. So why don't they pass the hat virtually through the Facebook fan base, collect money, and donate it to a charity in Josh Groban's name? So they presented Josh Groban this gift, and all of a sudden, it caught on. And one thing led to another, to the point where it was getting to be so popular and so big and so interesting, and so many people talking about it, so to speak, that Josh Groban's management team got involved, helped them form an official charitable organization that has since 2002 raised almost $1 million. As of December 2010. This was all started through Facebook. They built a web page calling themselves Grobenites for Charity. It's very rudimentary. It's very basic, very simple. It looks homemade. That's part of the charm. But what happened was a group of people that had a passion about something got together and caused such excitement and caused other people to have a passion for it. And it was all done just through a simple Facebook page at first. So that's the power of social media. If you're excited about what you do, who you are, what service you provide, your brand, then others will get excited as well. And you can communicate that and build that excitement and buzz through your social media outlets. So back to the example that I gave about Erica, her personal page, her discussion group, her fan pages. So to review, social media allows you to invite a conversation with your customers. It allows you to create a dialogue and get feedback. It allows you to determine interest in a new product or service. In other words, if you're going to launch a new product or service and you pose a question or release it on your Facebook page and ask for feedback, it's almost like free market research. It's almost like doing a survey. Use your current fans and your current followers and even your current personal friends through your Facebook page to spread the word and create a buzz. Also, you can become a resource, allowing a brand to target a new demographic outside of those that already know and love the business. So you can find new customers or address a new customer base that you may not have considered based on the feedback that you're getting through your Facebook page. So a discussion group, again, is a discussion. The fan page is where followers will go on and like you. And remember that when somebody, if I'm on Facebook and I have my own personal page and I go on to a fan page and I like it and I press the like button, anything that is posted on your fan page will then show up in my Facebook wall. So if you have a lot of fans, a lot of people that like your page, then anytime that you have something to say about your product or service or something to promote or something to ask or a coupon or a special offer, it will not only show up on all of the pages of your fans and people that like you, but then everybody else will see you. And those fans and followers can recommend to their friends and followers to like your page. It's almost like that commercial. Now, I'm dating myself, and many of you that are in my generation will know what I'm talking about. But a long time ago, there was a TV commercial for Herbal Essences shampoo, and it was about word of mouth. If you tell two people, they'll tell two people, they'll tell two people, and so on and so on and so on. It's a very popular TV commercial back in that day and time. I think it was the 80s. But it's the same thing with Facebook, Twitter, other social media. It's what's happening when people that follow you or paying attention to what you are saying are then helping that number of people that are following you and listening to what you're saying grow through who they communicate with. So many times I get the question about Facebook or Twitter or both or neither. So I'm going to talk about Facebook and Twitter first, and then I'll talk a little bit about a couple of the other social media outlets. This is just kind of a basic series of things that you can consider if you're trying to decide which of these two you may incorporate into your social media strategy. Facebook is the best media outlet to engage in a conversation with your customers. You're allowed about 420 characters, which is a paragraph, when you post something on your Facebook wall. You can include a link or a photo or a video, but you can only include one of those. But the key thing is that whatever you include as a link or a photo or a video shows up in a box beneath your post. So it can be a very visual post. And you have quite a few characters in which to get your message across. Twitter, on the other hand, is a good place to reach the business professional. It's where many professionals get a snapshot of news and events and what's going on, and they scroll through their tweets of those people that or businesses that they're following and get just a very quick overview throughout the day about what's going on. So with Twitter, when you're only allowed 160 characters, you have to be very, very efficient about what you say, and it's text only. And the links are most of the time reduced down into a URL that's not so long, like tiny URL or something like that, bit.ly, a couple of places where you can go and reduce down the length of your URL. So a lot of times you can't identify the link, the place where the link is going to go on Twitter, just because you need to kind of save up your number of characters. So Facebook gives you a little bit more room to talk, so to speak. And you can include visuals. Twitter is very quick and very efficient. And so with the key with Twitter is that you must be pretty active consistently throughout the day. On Facebook, you can use your Facebook pages to sell. On Twitter, you don't really use Twitter to sell a product as much as you are to be engaged in a conversation in your industry and have something to say about news and events related to you and your company, brand, or product. On Facebook, this is where most consumers are doing most of their communicating these days, sometimes even more so than email. In fact, because you can send messages to your friends through Facebook and sort of do email through Facebook, especially the younger generation don't even use email anymore. They're doing their conversations either by posting publicly on their wall or by sending messages to their friends through their Facebook messaging. With Twitter, Twitter is more of a monologue rather than a dialogue, although many companies and organizations are using Twitter to have a conversation. It's just that the Twittering or the tweeting that goes back and forth is very brief. And it gets interrupted by other people's tweets that are popping up in between your conversation. With Facebook, like I said before, there is more of an opportunity for visual effects like photos, videos, links, etc. But you cannot insert multiple links. You can, however, do as many posts as you want. So if you have something to show and link to and demonstrate through a video, then you can make three different posts and make sure that all of those things are included. On Twitter, there is no opportunity for visual effects, but you can insert as many links as you would like that will fit into the spaces, the number of characters that you're allowed through Twitter. One of the other social media outlets that I get asked about a lot these days is Groupon. Some of you may participate in Groupon and have signed up for that. For those of you that have not heard about it, Groupon is a new and interesting way for a business to promote itself by offering dramatic coupons for a product or a service, good for only one day, and good only if a certain number of people show up to use the coupon. So in other words, group using a coupon and thus Groupon. Now, the thing that's happened with Groupon is that it became very popular very fast. And businesses that tried it out, a lot of them were not really prepared for the response that they were going to get. It caught on immediately. So, for example, a bakery may have sent out their Groupon giving away 2 dozen cupcakes for the price of 1 dozen. And so many people showed up that they ran out and they couldn't fulfill the customer's request when they came in with their Groupon. So a couple of key things to remember about Groupon once you go on and investigate about it. If you sell a product or a service, it's a great way to introduce your business, your product or your service for people that don't already know you, so to acquire new customers, and to get customers that'll come in and become familiar with your product or service, and then come back as a repeat customer and paying the full price. So it's a little bit risky if the only customers that you get are the ones that are only ever going to use their Groupon coupon and never come back and buy at full price. The other thing that you need to be very, very aware of is that the key to the success of Groupon lies with your employees. So the employees, A, need to be excited. First of all, A, they need to know what you're doing. B, they need to be excited about the fact that you may get just a big pile of business one day. And C, they need to understand why you're doing it and what the overall long-term goal is. What's happened with a lot of companies is they'll release a Groupon coupon and the employees weren't prepared. They weren't excited. They weren't involved in the conversation from management about what was going to happen. And then they're the ones that are serving the free dinners that are, you know, overloaded with work that day, that are getting people that may or may not ever come back again at full price, that don't tip well, etc. Because there are some people that may take advantage of the Groupon coupon, and the employees are the ones that bear the brunt of that. So make sure that you engage your employees. Make sure you have a conversation. Make sure you're well staffed on the day that the Groupon is going to go out to the masses, and that everybody's prepared, they've bought in, and that the employees are excited about it, and that the customer has a good experience. Because what you don't want to have happen is people coming in, getting a drastic discount on something, and then never coming back. That will defeat the purpose of the Groupon activity. The other thing that you want to do is use your other social media outlets to advertise your coupon. So make sure that you announce it on Facebook that it's coming up, again, generating the buzz, the excitement. Make sure that you post on Twitter all day long, giving updates on how things are going. Oh my gosh, we just had our 500th customer, etc. So that there's excitement and buzz being generated about your product or your service leading up to the Groupon day. Treat it like an event, and also to what's happened in the aftermath as a result, and communicate that to people and use your other solid standby social media outlets like your Facebook and your Twitter to make that happen and work in conjunction with your Groupon. Foursquare is another social media outlet that has come up, and it seems to me that Foursquare is appropriate for brick-and-mortar type businesses, restaurants, retail stores, etc. And it's about where people post where they are in relation to a business that's on Foursquare. It sounds like it's what Twitter started off to be, when you just kind of post where you are and what you're doing all day. So it's mainly for businesses that have a product or service to sell where people actually go there. I want to back up just a minute for those of you that are following along on the PDFs to slide number 14. I do want to mention a very solid rule of thumb that I've discovered about how to most effectively post your tweets on Twitter. The key with Twitter is to be frequent. And I'll say this again at the end of the program. With social media, but especially with Twitter, frequency trumps length. So what happens on Twitter is that you're only allowed 160 characters. You have to be very efficient about your message. People that are following you on Twitter are also following a lot of other businesses or people. And tweets pop up all the time. So for example, if I post a tweet about something at 9 a.m., by 9:10 or 9:15, my tweet's probably not even on my followers page anymore because so many tweets have popped up since then. So don't be afraid to tweet too much. Don't be afraid to have more than one person in your business tweeting. Don't be afraid to post the same tweet more than once during the day. Now, again, don't be annoying to your followers and be overactive in it. But if you tweet 2, 3, 4 times a day at the key time periods, keeping the different time zones in mind, you'll be effective. And keep a good balance of your tweets. I like to think of it as a third, a third, and a third. A third of the tweets are about what you're doing. A third of the tweets are about what you have to say, and a third of the tweets may be links or news or other industry events that are relevant and interesting to your followers. So again, as with any social media, it's not all about you telling people what you think. It's all about engaging others in conversation and dialogue. So again, dating myself way far back, generations, to that old saying, you have two ears and one mouth, which means that you should be listening twice as much as when you're talking. And that goes for social media. And the more that you link out to other industry events, other links to interesting news articles, retweeting what other people are saying, the more that it seems like you're as interested and engaged in what's happening out there as what it is that you want to tell people. So moving on, I just want to mention a little bit about press releases. Press releases are exactly what they say. Press release. Press is equivalent to news. A lot of what's happening with press releases these days is happening online, most of it, in fact. So now press releases are also referred to as online news releases. A press release or an online news release provides another vehicle by which you can distribute a message. You want to choose an online press release or news release program or service that permits links and photos. When you write a press release or an online news release, it must be newsworthy. And you want to make sure that your news release directs your reader back to a place where they can have a conversation with you. So if it directs them back to your website and you have a blog where they can comment, great. If it directs them to your Facebook page where they can engage in a dialogue, if it directs them back to your website and you have an icon for your Twitter and your Facebook, again, inviting the conversation and a blog, even better. So the press release is the one type of sort of marketing that is more marketing now than it used to be. And a lot of times companies, businesses, brands will release a news release and it sounds dangerously close to being an advertisement. So be credible and make sure that when you release something that it sounds like news. Now, what happens when you release an online press piece? It's going to end up on the press desk of both electronic or online media outlets like CNBC.com, various magazines or newspapers that have both a hard paper format as well as an online format. So when you release a press release, you want to make sure that it's news, because if it's not and it sounds like an advertisement, then you will lose credibility with the very people that can give you exposure by releasing your news onto their sites. So all of these things combined, your social media strategy, combined with online news releases, combined with a blog, all contributes to everybody's favorite word, SEO, search engine optimization. It used to be, and this is in very recent years, very recent in fact, when I was an executive with a wood flooring company and we were redesigning our website, there was so much talk surrounding how to increase the search engine optimization, what to do when writing the site in terms of getting our SEO placement up into the top two or three spots. Do we buy Google AdWords? Is that going to help our SEO? It's still a very relevant and valid concern and issue and something as a business or a personal brand that you want to be aware of. However, it's a lot more efficient to achieve a good SEO ranking these days through an effective integration of your social media vehicles, your blog, and your online news releases. So you no longer have to invest a lot of money on a search engine optimization firm or to buy AdWords. You can, and it's up to you and your marketing team or your marketing consultant to sort out when that will work for you. But you can start off testing the waters, especially with small businesses, if you don't have a large budget. By doing some things effectively with your other online presence, that will help your search engine optimization rankings. So again, as I keep sort of saying throughout this program, you want to use all forms of your social media, e-marketing, online news, blogs, website together in a carefully executed, integrated effort. What that does mean is that you want to have a plan. What that does not mean is that you have to do everything and all things. When you do a press release, you want to use the same keywords that you use in your email blasts, your blog posts, your Facebook posts, your Twitter tweets, your LinkedIn updates, your YouTube captions. It is no longer necessary, and people will know if you're abusing the keywords, if you're just obviously trying to stick in your keywords as many times as you can to increase your SEO. That doesn't work anymore. I don't think it ever worked, actually. But you do want to be consistent in how you describe your product or service. So here's an example. Going back to Erica James. 2 years ago, she was awarded Diversity MBA Magazine's Top 100 Under 50. It was a great recognition, and Diversity MBA Magazine features all of the 100 recipients in their publication. They feature them in an awards banquet that typically happens in Chicago. And it's a pretty prestigious recognition because it recognizes diverse professionals that are making an impact in their companies. So as soon as we got the word that Erica was a recipient, I posted an online news release about it. I also posted it on her Facebook page. I also tweeted about it. It was also featured on her website. And all of this one piece of news was translated into these various formats. So it was a series of tweets. It was a couple of different posts and a link on her Facebook. It was a news-related news release. And it was a clickable button on her website. The result of this was that by the time the Diversity MBA magazine actually released their issue, Erica's search engine optimization placement was higher than the actual magazine's when we put in the search words Diversity MBA magazine Top 100. So for those of you listening, you'll notice that I didn't say Erica James, recipient of Diversity MBA Magazine Top 100. For those of you that see it on the slide, you'll see that the search terms were only Diversity MBA Magazine Top 100 and Erica Hayes James showed up above the magazine on the search engine optimization placement without even putting her name in the search terms. That's the power of an effective integrated strategy. So her name came up, one of the press releases came up in the SEO rankings, her website came up, etc., without even putting her name in the search terms. Another example is when she released her book and she had a co-author. When I would Google the co-author's name, Erica's name and several places to link to on her site, on her book's website, etc., came up higher than the person that I was actually doing the Google search for because her name was mentioned throughout Erica's various outlets. So again, if you're careful and consistent about what you write and post, and you do it in an effective manner, the search engine optimization will come on its own. And then after that, if you want to get more robust about it, then you can certainly consider AdWords, etc. As a small business, I'm only speaking about this because you may have very limited budgets. Most small businesses do. And social media is opening up a lot of doors for you to be able to get the word out about you, your business, your new products, your services, and become well-known and create a buzz without having to spend a lot of money. So where do I start? What do I do? Each of the various social media outlets make it very easy to create a page. You can have somebody help you, or you can play around and do it yourself. Nothing that's done cannot be undone. That's the beauty of it. If you make a post on Facebook and you change your mind, you can remove your post. You can take down your Facebook page if you're changing something in your business, etc. So don't be afraid. Begin with a blog or a news release, because a blog or a news release, but mainly a blog will allow you to say everything that you want to say on a particular topic. You can insert however many links that you want. You can insert however many images that you want. And that will sort of serve as your framework, because that's where, if in reality, if you were going to post a blog or if you were going to make it into news and release it as a news release, you have more of an opportunity to say what you need to say. Even if you don't post it, pretend like you're going to post it. Because from there, you'll drill down to your various social media outlets based on how much space that you have. So if you begin with your blog, you can from there create several Facebook wall posts. You can include specials, sales, coupon codes, something that you're doing that's relevant to the industry. And you can create several different wall posts by pulling them out of your main blog or your main news release. And then next, you can create a series of tweets for Twitter. So for example, when I write a blog, I keep my blog live and up on my computer, and all week long I'm pulling out phrases, sentences, thoughts from the blog, and I create tweets out of them. So it can give you a lot of tweet material. And remember, in the world of social media marketing, frequency trumps length. So start with the thing that allows you the longest piece. And then from there, take out your Facebook wall posts, take out your tweets, etc. Remember to keep the integrity of everything that you're doing. Because social media makes you so very visible and so very public, you want to make sure that you remain professional about it and that everything that you do or say is out there for everybody to see. What you don't know as a small business or a personal brand or a person, even somebody that's just graduated from college and looking for a job, this is an important thing to keep in mind. You never know where somebody will see you and learn about you. And you have to assume that everything that you do online, may be the only opportunity that you have to make an impression. So, for example, people may not ever see your website. They may only know about you because a lot of their friends like your page on Facebook, and that's how they keep in touch with what your business is doing. So be careful about what you post. They may never see your website, but they may just have you as somebody that they follow on Twitter, and they're learning about your coupons, your specials, your new products, how active you are in your industry just by scanning their tweets every day. They may see a news release and link over to your website, and then they're on your website. Is your website current? If you have a blog posted, when's the last time you posted a blog? If they click on your Facebook icon, is it going to take them over to a place where they can actively engage in a current conversation? So this goes back to the, what do I do? How many of these do I have to be involved in? I would recommend starting with two, Facebook and Twitter. They're the most popular right now, and it's an easy way for you to practice and get engaged. And it's also a place that a lot of you are probably already familiar with, if you have a personal Facebook page especially. Now, here's another question that I get, and I will close with just a couple of thoughts about this. How do I keep my personal Facebook page separate from my business? How do I keep my personal Facebook image separate from my professional image? And to this I will say, it's very difficult. So if you want to keep your personal profile and your personal image completely separate, then it's probably a good idea to use a different name, to use photos where people may not be able to track you to your company. Because everything that you do, again, online is very public. And whether or not you're a person or a business, you are a brand, thanks to the world of social media. You never know when somebody's going to find you on Facebook. You never know when somebody's going to see your page. If you're related to your business, try and keep things as professional as you can, because everything is interconnected these days. So, for example, I have a personal Facebook page. I also have a Facebook page for my business, C. Marie Marketing Studio. The people that I choose to be friends with may or may not help my personal image. That doesn't mean that you can't still be friends with whoever you want to be friends with. They may be crazy. They may be somebody that you may not want to introduce to your boss. There is a way to keep things private and separate on your personal Facebook page. For example, if you have a friend whose posts may not be appealing to your other friends or your business colleagues, then you can hide that friend's posts without unfriending them, so to speak, so that you can still be friends with them and interact with them through messaging, etc., but everybody that's following you may not see their posts. So that's one way of doing it. The other thing is that you want to remember that depending on how you put your privacy settings, anybody may be able to go on and look at your page. So if you don't want anybody and everybody looking at your page, then you can set your settings to where only people that you've included in your circle of friends can see you. So keep that in mind. I have mine out for everybody and everybody to see. It's fine, and I keep very close track about what types of things are being posted on my page. You can keep things private. Just make sure that you're working with somebody that can walk you through or help you understand exactly what it means about how visible that you are. It's very hard to keep things completely separate, so just keep that in mind. You may not want to. If you're a small business, the more friends that you have, the more people you have out there trying to support you and your business and your efforts by talking about you. That's something that you do want. That's a giant advantage. Just keep in mind that it's the internet, and there are ways for people to sort of see you out there. It's like being almost naked to the world. And just be aware and be responsible about it. I'm happy to accept any questions through my email, connie@cmariemarketing.com. It's on the final slide. If you write to me, I will do my best to write you back. I will create a blog with some common questions and answers that I receive from you. I hope this was helpful, and I look forward to my next podcast.